Welcome back, everybody. Time for another episode that we call Patellacast. This isn't just a telecast. This is a Patellacast with Dr. Patel explaining the science, soul, and the spaces between as we explore the frontiers of health with some cool conversations and some interesting questions from the man who knows about them both, Dr. Neil Patel. Welcome, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me back.
The good news is I'm going to live to be in my 90s based on my parents made it that far. Or is that the bad news? What kind of life will I be living 20 years from now, 30 years from now, or something? And I wonder about that all the time. And we talk about the habits and the routines and the things that I should start now, but I don't always do it. You're going to have to tell us how to do it today, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm grateful and honored to have my personal trainer here, Mr. Shad Gibbons from Force 3 Fitness. He is the founder and creator of Force 3 Fitness, which is a private gym in the city of Orange. And I train with you at least once a week, which has been great. I see a lot of gains. And yeah, I'm excited to have you here.
Yeah. Great. Excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me to be on this this podcast, show, video. Yeah. Yep. I'm going to wave hello to the listeners over there. Yeah.
Now, he asked us if we could swear because he says once in a while, does he swear at you? Damn it, get off here.
That's right. Push me, push the audience. Absolutely. So I wanted to start off right away, Shad. You know, you're obviously in the fitness world, personal trainer for me, a lot of other people. What made you even want to get into this kind of space?
That was my first case study, the first testimonial, the first project I worked on. Yeah. I was always active as a kid growing up, ate a lot of food. I loved food. My mom was a chef, pastry chef, so there was always some fresh baked goods around the house. It would eat until I felt uncomfortable, but I was active, whether that was summertime, riding bikes outside all day, drinking water from hoses, building jumps, to mountain bike riding, and then organized sports. So I've always been active, just had an eating problem. That eating problem led me to being 285 pounds. And I remember the moment that I stepped on the scale before wrestling season, and I weighed 285. Wow. Basically saying you are too fat to participate in wrestling because it's weight limits. So heavyweight ended at, I think it was 275. I know there's a difference between some cool schools are 280, but I was basically too fat to wrestle and participate in the sport. And I decided I'm either going to give up now and just become fat the rest of my life, or I'm going to make a change. And in that moment, it felt like an eternity. I saw myself go down the path of giving up. And I was 30 years old. I had Cheeto dust on my fingertips. I was like 350 pounds on the couch playing video games. And I remember feeling disappointment in my parents' eyes, because a lot of my activity came from me being with my dad and my brother and my friends. Now, I remember in this moment, I was lonely. And I was a disappointment to myself and my family because I let myself go. And that took 2 seconds. Holy shit. I'm wrestling. I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going to let wrestling, which is one of the best sports if you ever want to lose weight. And I'm going to make that be a change for myself. Wow. So over the course of wrestling, I ended up dropping 60 pounds in 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah. I did one simple thing. Stopped eating pizza.
Oh, wow.
I was working at Little Caesars 3 to 4 days a week. And when you're trying to earn money and save, you're just going to eat the pizza that's there and you're going to take one home with you. So wow. I was eating probably like 3 to 4 pizzas a week.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just stopped doing that.
Wow. That's quite an experience. I could only imagine being at a certain weight and having that perspective to be like, look, it's in my hand. Mm-hmm. And that's actually something I want to talk about today is you've been good at pushing me. Is overall was how to motivate, what motivated you back then for your own personal journey, how you motivate your clients now, but also how do you maintain it? So I guess the first question would be, how did you, like you said, what really pushed you? You mentioned being overweight, but how did you really take that next step from thinking about it to actually doing it?
Yeah. So thinking about it to actually doing it was, I was actually in a sense forced to, because you have a coach, it's wrestling.
Yeah.
So it was my choice to participate and join wrestling. But once you choose to do that, you are then committed to the process of having a coach and having other, your wrestling teammates there, making sure that you're pushing yourself and that you're going through those brutally hot, sweaty practices 2 to 3 hours at a time. And so that's how I got myself to being there. And that's what was putting at the forefront was, this is the last time I'm going to have a coach. The last time I'm going to have somebody tell me I have to exercise. Because if I quit now, I don't have anybody to tell me. But if I choose to wrestle this last season, it was my senior year in high school, I'm going to still have a coach. I'm going to have a team of people making sure then I'm getting my ass to work and I'm doing the job.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so you basically took it upon yourself. Obviously, you had your coach, your wrestling coach, kind of push you, but you took ownership of mm-hmm. your own health, which I tell a lot of my patients, I'm not responsible for your health. Mm-hmm. Patients are responsible ultimately for their own health. So now transitioning that, obviously, you've been fit all these years, and I know we've talked recently, you say you're the best shape of your life, which is awesome. How did you, like we talked, maintain your motivation or be consistent after that initial aha moment?
First off, like, motivation came in two parts. Number one was I want to get laid.
Okay.
Being 17 year old dude. Right.
Did I hear what he just say?
Look, he's 17 years old. Right. You got more testosterone than a 30 year old man taking steroids.
Right.
And you're just like, dude, I want to get laid. That was it. That was on the superficial side. But then, like I said, in that moment where I weighed in and I saw that disappointment in myself and I was lonely, that was the fear side. So there's two poles. Number one, I want to move towards this so I can get laid. Number two, I want to run away from this disappointment, this part of me that I don't want to become. So there's two things that I'm in, and I'm in the middle here.
Okay.
And losing that weight was the first time I actually lost weight and made a massive change for myself. And I realized that getting laid is cool, and that took a couple more years to make that happen. Sure. That was no longer the driving force. It became really simple, which was I can actually do what I set out to do. I can actually make a change for myself.
Wow.
And with that came confidence. It came self-belief. When it came to sports, I was not the best. I was a hard worker, and I was mostly into sports because my friends were a part of it and actually enjoyed it. So it was the team camaraderie aspect of it. And there was the first time where I was like, I could do this. I actually have a win, and it's on me that did this. I made a change for myself. And getting the self-belief, the confidence, that made a big difference. So when I ended up graduating my senior year, while I looked dramatically different, everybody knew, like, something massive has happened to Shad. Like, he is a different person. He's revolutionized and transformed his mindset and his health during the last semester. Because once wrestling was done, I realized, oh my God, I've dropped 60 pounds. I'm not going to let this go. I'm going to keep on going. I already had a good background of weightlifting through football. So I was super strong. I was able to clean and jerk. I loved the actual exercise of weightlifting because it wasn't like cardio. I hated cardio, especially when you're fat and you're not eating well at all. Right. Your heart rate goes up. Everything is harder when you're carrying around an extra 85 pounds on your body. Shed that off. I'm like, wow, running is a lot easier. So I started actually not enjoying but tolerating running. So I'd run a little bit more. And I just followed those things that I've been doing for a lot of my life and have been taught to me through athletics. And I just kept on going with it. But I also did the next thing, which was, I need to research this. I need to learn more about this. There's more to working out than just doing clean, jerk, deadlift, back squat, bench press. That's all I knew because that's all I was taught throughout high school, football. And so I started going on bodybuilding.com and looking at weightlifting routines, looking at diets and spending, instead of hanging out with my friends, that time I was just smoking weed and eating Jack in the Box tacos by the handful. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a little less of that, and I'm going to do a little more studying. So I started studying and just learning more about how to lose weight and how to get in shape when I was 18 years old.
Wow, that's incredible to have that kind of experience or motivation at a young age, because I see more on the geriatric side now. I see patients who are maybe 65 and older, and I personally struggle to have them. I'm very big on lifestyle, right? Less, fewer pills, fewer procedures, fewer physicians, the better. My biggest struggle is how to, number one, motivate my patients just to want to help themselves, and how to maintain or keep their motivation or their momentum up. Obviously, in your personal journey, you've been able to maintain it. Now you have your own gym here in the city of Orange, California. What is your strategy for your own clients now that you're in a kind of, you've got yourself all fixed up? How do you help your clients in that aspect?
Yeah, it depends on where they're at in life
and
what they want to accomplish. Some people can come to me motivated, ready to roll. I have a client of mine who he's gearing up for he's mid-30s, and he's gearing up for a 50-mile bike race. Wow. And it's his third time competing. Wow. He does not need a single lick of motivation. Mm. He's got it internally. And then I have other clients who are showing up. They've never really exercised before. They've always had an extra 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. And for them, it's day one. They've tried other things in the past, but all they know is failure. Mm. They've never had a success or a win in their life. And so sometimes it takes a conversation to find out what happened during those moments. What happened during those times where you, if you did try, what happened? What are the lessons that we can learn from those and then apply them here? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it could be they were just given advice that wasn't helpful for them. Sometimes it was they just didn't try long enough. They did something like, I did it for a month and I didn't get anywhere. But yeah, if you did it for a month and you got a quarter of the way, you didn't fail. You're actually on the way of doing it. Right. You just gave up early. And so we have to find out, like, what were the failures you had before? What are the lessons we can learn? How can we apply those to the future?
Okay. So, yeah, so you mentioned you get some lessons. You meet them where they're at, in a sense, to start with. Now, obviously, let's say you have a patient. I'm motivated. I want to change my life. They come for a couple weeks, and then they fall off, which I see a lot with my patients, where it's like they start off so excited. They're ready. Life gets in the way. Maybe their motivation drops, but like we mentioned, how do you maintain maybe the consistency after that initial high may be gone? And then what are other maybe realistic tools that people may be able to use that you've seen?
That's a sticky point that I still, as a coach, am working on to help my clients see that, but it comes down to your why.
Why? Okay.
If you're listening to this show, you've probably heard that before. Know your why. Be very clear with it. That is the reason. You need to understand, like, why am I doing this? Why do I want what's the result that I want? And more importantly, why do I want this result? How will it benefit my life? Right. If you are not very crystal clear with that, it's going to be hard to stay the course when life hits. But if, like, to your core, your why, and you will give everything for it, you will bleed for that, you're going to get there. And you got to ask, what does commitment mean? If it means I will die for this, that's a high level of commitment. If it means that I'll not show up to the gym on a Saturday morning because I decided to go party with my friends on a Friday, then you're not that committed to it. Yeah. So that why is not strong enough. We got to find a better reason why.
I like that. So it's not only why, but how strong is your why? And like you said, if you're going to do something where you're committing, how strong is your why? How to commit. For me, with patients, I always say, find your why, whatever that may be. They're older, so they may have grandkids. I can't chase after my grandkids. I can't take care of them. Or I can't get out of my car without X, Y, and Z pain. So sometimes I tell them, like, write down your why and put it everywhere. Put it, like, where you can repeat it and see it. Has there been any, like, specific techniques in that sense where you see, like, a daily thing that may help them bolster their initial motivation?
There's a couple different techniques that you can do, but it takes time. And people have to take, they're already crazy busy schedules saying, hey, I want you to take 30 to 60 minutes and carve out time and do this exercise to think about yourself, where they could be answering certain questions. Some people do better just answering questions. Mm-hmm. Some people could do better walking through a visualization exercise. That visualization exercise could be, I'll give you a quick run through of it. You sit there, you close your eyes, and you breathe for about a minute. Try to get yourself calm and relaxed. You imagine a beam. Boom. Getting you, it's teleporting you up to the clouds. All right. And you're up in the clouds, you're hanging out up there. Now, up while you're up there, 20 years has passed by. Beams you down. All right. So the present you is now meeting the you in 20 years.
Okay.
Where are you? What do you see? What are you looking like? How do you show up? And that will help people see who am I becoming? Where am I going? What did I see myself as? 5, 10, 15, 20 years later. Because I realize that some people have a thing of, I'm getting my body back. I'm getting back to my fitness. They're thinking behind who they were. Who you were is gone. That's a fossil.
Yeah.
It's who you're becoming.
Wow. Yeah, said. Yeah, the past is the past for a reason. You live in the past, you die in the past. Yeah, you made a lot of good points. I've always been on the fence, right? What type of motivation strategy? In medicine, they use a lot of fear tactics. Oh, if you don't check your diabetes, you might get heart disease. You might have to chop off your foot or something crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I always struggle, at least on my end as a physician, does motivating via fear or motivating via encouragement seem to work better? I don't know if you've seen, I was curious about your perspective on, do you choose one or the other, or what works for your clients?
That comes down to personality.
Okay.
There are some people who are motivated, like, I can kind of, like, there are some people where you can be like, dude, you're looking fat.
Okay, yeah.
And they will respond positively to that.
Wow.
I could tell somebody else that and they're never going to talk to me again. So you just got to ask, what kind of motivation do you respond best to?
Okay.
I've noticed that the people that can tolerate negative feedback are already hardworking, motivated individuals because they can take that criticism. They know when like they're not doing the shit they said they were going to be doing. Right. But then the person that actually needs more gentle encouragement and just like a little bit of, you know, positive pressure to them is somebody that hasn't racked up enough wins in their life. They haven't, they don't know what they're made of just yet. They need to figure that out. So they need just a gentle encouraging and nudging towards that. There's pushing and pulling. Like I said, like my whys were the positive, get laid, the negative, disappointment from who I can become. And so I had both motivating factors there. And you could have both motivating factors there for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely things, like you said, that can motivate. And yeah, it can be a push-pull, fear, encouragement.
Yeah.
And you always touched on, so I use this with my patients, which you recommended me, because I know I lack motivation at time to time. And I go through my cycles of working out hard for a couple of weeks and then I drop off. In terms of small things, I like to write things down. Do you notice if one type of technique works better in terms of writing, like doing homework? I know you like breaking down your plans into very actionable steps versus having a why. Do you notice like how that transitions works in terms of just stating your why versus actually doing that homework of all the small details?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like both are like, you kind of need to do both.
Okay.
You need to have your why and then have the action steps plan. Yeah. And you need to have that why pinned to the top. That why. And look, why can also be other terms. It could be your values. Hey, what do you value in life? If you value being there for your family, yet your actions are showing and your doctor saying your blood shows that you're not going to be here much longer, that's a fear-based, and they can run away from that becoming of heart attack or just another statistic. And that value of being there for their family would be the positive side to push them towards that.
Okay.
Or pull them towards that while they're being pushed away from negative ill health.
Okay.
Yeah. So having that value there is going to be helpful, and then having the action steps of where you want to go. So that why value is pinned to the top of the action steps that you have. So when you're looking at the action steps thinking, oh man, I didn't do XYZ, we got to look at your why. And if that why then makes you feel like, all right, maybe I do stay up a little bit later in the night to get my workout in, or maybe I do wake up earlier the next morning to go on my walk, or you know what? Maybe I do spend a little more time on thinking, what will my lunch be the next day?
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm listening to this. I'm your target audience. I'm older. I motivated for about 5 minutes and then I lose my motivation. Maybe it's because I don't get the results quick enough. Maybe it's because it's too hard. Maybe it's because I've told myself I can't do it. All these reasons that I say, I'm going to do it better next time here. Is it just yelling at him more? Is it just pushing him more? Or because I think that's poor. For me, that just makes me go, oh, you can do it. I can't. That just makes me feel more hopeless. What I was intrigued with, and we put it in the show notes, is the idea of create some kind of momentum. The momentum may carry you through those moments when motivation wanes, when motivation sags. But if you're used to it, if it's a habit, if you're doing it all the time, and you're hanging out with people and they expect you to be there, somehow it builds a momentum. I never thought of that. Talk about momentum versus motivation.
Yeah, so momentum is, if you think about a snowball rolling down a hill,
right,
it starts small, and as it goes down, it becomes a wrecking ball. But it started really small. We could think of, all right, what is a win? And I ask my clients this every week. Yeah. A win is something that is above and beyond your normal responsibilities, that if you do this thing, you will feel accomplished about yourself. Very easy definition of what a win is. So you got to create that yourself. That could be, I'm intentionally going to walk. Let's say you want to walk more. I'm intentionally going to walk an average of 8,000 steps a day. Cool. So I hit you up Monday, paid you walk 8,000 steps. Yes, I did. Wonderful. Great, you hit your win. How do you feel? And I ask them, how do they feel? Because I want to anchor that feeling of pride and accomplishment to their actions.
Got it.
Now, if they don't hit that, I say, okay, cool. What happened? What was the obstacle? What was the roadblock? XYZ came up. Okay, now let's look at your schedule, look at your lifestyle, and figure out how can we adjust this. Maybe there's somebody, and if there's somebody that was saying, I'm walking 2,000 steps a day on average, and I'm going to go 8,000 steps a day. As a coach, it's me to say, hold up, let's pull that back. You want to quadruple what you're doing? That's great. I love the ambition and the gusto, but we want to actually make this a game that you can win, that's challenging, can be beneficial, but you can actually win. Let's pull that back to doing 4,000 steps a day. How's that sound? So it makes a manageable win, and they can actually do it. Then the next week, if they want to, let's try to go for 5,000, or let's try to go here. Let's try to maintain this, and then we can. Then they're starting to feel better. Hey, like, I went from going 2,000 steps a day to 6 weeks later, I'm average walking 6,000 steps a day. You've tripled your steps. That's great. Does that feel like something you could do consistently and you enjoy it? Yes, I do. Cool. How can we also create this habit as well? Maybe we can stack something to it. Maybe it's you go on a walk with your dogs, your family, or you go on a walk and you just say, hey, you know what? I need to be out more outside in nature and disconnect. Leave your phone. Just go on a walk. Or maybe you go listen to a podcast, you listen to music. So you couple certain activities up with the other activity. So sometimes you're thinking, I'm not going on a walk. You're just thinking, no, I'm going to listen to a podcast right now. But I happen to be walking while doing it. I'm going to go on a phone call. I'm just going to happen to walk while going on the phone call.
Yeah, I like how you put that. It's like instead of saying, I'm walking and I'm going to take this phone call, I'm taking this phone call while I'm walking. It becomes like a subconscious kind
of
activity.
And that becomes a habit. When I listen to podcasts, I'm walking. I'm not telling myself I have to exert myself. No, I want to listen to podcasts. I want to listen to phone call. I want to get out in nature or something. I just never thought of that. Momentum has its own, what would you say? Momentum. It might carry you through those moments when you otherwise give up.
I like that. I like how you associate it with something like an anchor. So
yeah,
that way it's no longer they're focusing on I have to exercise, is that I'm doing my chore or habit or activity with this exercise as a background. You brought something up a long time ago with me that always stuck with me, and I've actually told patients, I have a lot of patients who snack. They always snacking and eating, and no, I don't eat a lot, but I eat some nuts here, and I have a little snacks. You have a concept I never heard, exercise snacks. Mm-hmm. You want to touch upon that a little bit?
Yep. Not to correct you, movement snacks.
Movement snacks, okay.
Because I want to, exercise is a bad name.
That's the key. You tell me to exercise and I groan right away. I feel pain. I come up with excuses. I start to tell myself why I won't or can't or don't want to do this. I can push through it if I'm motivated, but I'm still trying to push through something. Exercise, for the people I know in my life, they love to do it. Somehow they associate it with fun, not with bad things.
Yeah. And for those people, they've been doing it for a long time. But for most people, when you hear exercise, they usually think of this is prescribed. It's in a specific setting. It's a specific sort of reps and sets and weights and that sort of stuff. And there's a lot of structure to it. Movement is flow. When water's going down a river, it's not exercising.
Right.
It's flowing and moving down the river. So if I call it movement, hey, I want you to move more in the day. It's a very simple but very broad term. What is movement? It's just you taking your body and moving it around. You can't really use the same word in the definition, but saying, take your body and go from here to there. Take it through space of some kind. And what it's going to have is an effect on you because there's gravity, and gravity is an omnipotent force that's always weighing down your body. And if you're taking your body through space, and moving your body through space, you're going to get some sort of benefit from it because of the stress of gravity. Now, it could be something, movements that could be, I'm going to move my arm around in a circle. I'm going to touch my toes 5 times and then reach up to the air 5 times with each one. I'm going to move my hips around in a circle. I'm going to move my head and neck 10 times like this and then 10 times like this. I'm going to move my shoulders back around. Because if you're just sitting in a position, stuck, and you're not moving at all, your body's going to form to those positions and it adapts to those positions. And that's how bad posture happens. That's how joint pain happens. That's how these little things pop up over time. So if you take a little break, and you do a 2 to 3 minute movement snack. That could be, I'm getting up and I'm going to go get some water. But as I'm getting water, I'm going to do 4 lunges while doing it. Or you know what? I'm going to walk backwards to go there. Or I'm going to walk side to get there. Or I'm going to take larger steps. So I'm stretching out my hip flexors to do that while I get there. That's a way to just get movement in. It might look goofy, but you got to not care at all about what other people think about you, because that's the weird thing is I think we need to normalize movement in culture. If I'm standing at line, let's say I'm just in line at a grocery store and I'm standing there for five, it's a long line. I'll squat down. I'll move my arms in a circle.
I want to see this. Standing in a long line at the supermarket, you're doing squats and moving.
Yeah.
Why not? Why are we all just rich as a... We're in a big building here. UCI is Applied Innovation. Everybody's walking around to the cooler or the bathroom or whatever just to get up from their desk and move around some. Ever seen them walk backwards or sideways or do lunges? They do it. Why not? Because we've all been told, that would look funny. That would be different. Nobody does that.
Exactly. It's not the norm. Like, people walk like this. That's how society functions and walks. Oh, you're walking backwards? You're like the fish swimming upstream. You shouldn't be doing that. And so I think that's why we need to, as a culture, normalize movement.
Yeah, I've never thought about that. That's actually huge. The stigma of looking weird or something, when we've never thought about that, how we our culture may not actually promote movement. That's a great point, because I know for me, movement snacks has been helpful for my patients. So it makes it realistic, which obviously we're both very practical in our expectations, which is great. Yeah, we're almost closing out, but do you have any final or last words you'd like to leave your clients or whoever's out there that might be listening on, in terms of how to help them help themselves?
Yeah. This shit's hard. It is not easy.
Did he say what I just think he said? This shit is hard. I'm telling you.
It's not easy. You're going to have a lot of failures. You're going to have a lot of wins. You're going to have a lot of lessons to learn if you want to go down this process. I've been working at it for 20 years, and I could say that I'm in the best shape of my life, but it's been 20 years. Oh. Some people are thinking 30 days. Cool, 30 days is like just a centimeter you've moved forward. Let's keep this going on for years, decades. Continue doing it. To me, it's not, I don't have to think about it as much. Sure, I still feel resistance on not wanting to work out, but I don't have to think about it. It's not as hard for me because I know how much it benefits me, and I feel so damn good
and
doing
you've
it.
You built a healthy habit or a momentum that carries you through this, a routine. I'm used to doing it. It's part of my daily activities. I look forward to it. I've built it in.
Exactly. You've made it your unconscious part of your lifestyle. So, I definitely agree with it. And yeah, you added some great insights. We're wrapping up. I'd love for people to know how to contact you, how to reach you. So, what would be the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, to get a hold of me, if you're like on the masses, check out Instagram. Go to @force3fitness. Force3fitness. All one word, no special characters. And it is the number three after the E. Enforce. Check it out, and you can follow me on there. I do put testimonials, but some valuable content that can help people out. Some little rants like this will be up there too, and you can just hit me up on there. I do offer complimentary consults to anybody that is interested in training. My gym is located in Orange, and we do semi-private and one-on-one personal training, which, if people unfamiliar with that, you are getting individualized coaching in a small, intimate setting, so there's never more than six people in a session. And then we also do the good old-fashioned one-on-one personal training for the people that want just that intimate approach to it. So it's not like a large group where there's 20, 30 people in there working out. If you're a day one person, you're getting coached the way that you move and where you're at. And everybody gets coached in a way of, hey, I'll see you next Monday. No, I'll reach out to you. If you have questions, you reach out to me. I'm going to ask you, where are you at on your routines? What do you need help with? I'm checking in on you, holding you accountable. So it's more of a premium service that people are getting, but I work with people that are very serious about getting their asses in shape.
Wow. I appreciate that. I know you've been my trainer, and I'm looking okay, right, guys? Yeah, I'm looking pretty good, right? So you're keeping me in check, so I really appreciate everything you said. And yeah, please check out Force 3 Fitness here locally, right here in the city of Orange, California, so we can get your ass in shape as well.
And if they want to get the rest of their literally body or ass in shape, how do they reach Dr. Patel?
Yeah, for me, it's very simple. You can also reach out on my social media at Dr. N-E-A-L-H Patel, all one word. Or you can always reach out to our office, and we'll put all the information here as well.
And you're in the city of Orange as well.
The city of Orange. We're real close by. So if you're trying to get your health in shape, you got a doctor, and you got a trainer right here.
That's Health Central right there.
Right here.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. I got motivated. I got motivated to learn more. I got motivated to think about it. That's a start. Get off the couch and get some action going here. That's what it is. This is a Patellacast, where we talk about science and the underlying soul and that space in between them that sometimes blocks you from becoming better, whatever you want to do here. The Patellacast, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.